Welcome back, or welcome to Golf Nerds with me, Guy Cross. In this irritatingly re-recorded episode, because I wasn't happy with the audio quality of what I laid down yesterday, we're going to freestyle over a couple of topics. The President's Cup, how it lived up to my dreams, but you didn't get to hear them. Politics and golf on this day, where Her Majesty's United Kingdom chooses a new Prime Minister, or chooses to keep the old one. And, some other stuff. Golf, how to stay in shape for golf, basically. Golf fitness. What's real and what's not real. Now, the President's Cup. I'm recording this. Day one results are in, but day two results are not. First time I recorded this podcast, I used my really expensive Sennheiser Bluetooth headset as a microphone, and it just didn't sound right. So I'm kicking it how I normally kick it, which is using a very professional limited edition audio device I was gifted by a wonderful tech website in the UK called Pocket Lint. Now, that what I said was about the President's Cup. It's what I really want to see is JT and Tiger going and absolutely massacring Neiman. And that sort of happened, right? They won 4-3. 4-2, they won by four up. And it was really Big Cat who just put on a ball-striking, creative golf exhibition that could be entitled Face It, I'm Better Than You. Like, watching it was just like, of course there were some Cat moments of, like, shots dropping in and putts dropping in, but what, you know, just showing himself to be a pro's pro. The Melbourne, Royal Melbourne course is a golfer's golf course. It's baked out, it's hard, it's fast. You've got to play modern golf, because there's times where it really benefits you to put a long ball down there. At the same time, you need to be able to know how to run a 7-iron in, or cook up a chip shot that you've never hit before. Tiger just did it. That chip in, man. If you've not seen it, Google Tiger Woods chip in President's Cup. He hits a bump and run through the rough. Oh, like, it is the stuff dreams are made of. And it's the sort of shot you never see on the PGA Tour, apart from maybe US Open week. It was just fantastic. Just fantastic. And it was amazing just to see El Tigre being able to, like, say, yeah, I can win at Augusta. I can win at the, whatever, the joke course in Zozo, where he's just flying in, you know, towering wedge shots and just dropping them dead. And then to play the bump and runs and the sort of linksy, Parkslandy style course, it's just amazing. Like, he runs in a 7-iron at one shot, sticks it to a foot. You see Adam Scott showing his colours as well. It's just ball striker. And being able to cook up some shots and using his local knowledge. What a ledge day. As it stands, the world team are 3 points in the lead. It's not going to last, is it? Form is temporary, class is permanent. The Americans are going to go, oh crap, we might lose this one, and destroy them. But if they don't, right, here's the thing. What happens to the Ryder Cup, President's Cup setup in the USA? Because, right, you say, oh, you know, they've got a crap captain in Tiger Woods. What more can Tiger Woods do? Put together some pretty solid pairings. You know, it is a little bit luck of the draw. you know, who gets Bryson, who gets DeChambeau. You know, you could just like write off, not who gets Bryson, who gets Patrick Reed, who gets DeChambeau. You could just write off that pairing and put them together, but maybe they would piss each other off so much they'd actually win. That would be quite a fun pairing, actually, like the Dark Ones together. That would be quite funny. And put Webb and Ricky together, and they just go around like chilling out because they get to play with nice people. Anyway, let's see. But I really wanted to see Tiger just destroy the golf course, and I wanted to see JT being JT and just shouting fuck yeah all over the golf course, really. And he got to do that on behalf or vicariously through Tiger, but his golf wasn't on point as it could be. Now, everyone has shit days, so nothing happening there. Hopefully JT and Tiger both on form on the same team in a doubles pairing, it would be fucking fire. You'd either want them to be playing against like two guys who are just, you know, you either want them to win 10 and 8, or you want them to win like down to the wire. You either want, like, you know, a classic battle where those two amazing competitors, JT and Tiger, you know, both shoot like 63 caliber golf against some other guys who shoot 64. I don't want the world golfers to win. I mean, who does, right? There's a couple of vested interests in there for me. If Adam Scott pulls out directed force putter, I'd love to see him like show that off, because Bill Pressey, first guy on the podcast, I'm about to pull the trigger on my DFP. It's going to be awesome. That would be awesome for the brand, and that brand deserves a bump. Like, they're getting a lot of tiny bumps, but they just need that big hit. They need someone to go and win a major with one of those putters, or at least win on tour, PGA Tour, with it. They got a lot of wins racking up in ladies golf and Asian ladies golf particularly, but they just need that little bump. It's going to happen. So I just need to get my own DFP putter while Bill's still taking my calls. I don't know if Bill listens, you know. I know a lot of the guys we've had on the podcast do listen. Thanks to Barney. I got a nice message from him last week. After a while, I haven't been in touch with Barney for a while. I want to get Barney back on. He's got something fascinating that he doesn't even know to talk about. I want to get Bill back on as well. I mean, I want to get the whole crew, like Blues Brothers moment. I'm putting the band back together. Not quite. Anyway, President's Cup, let's see how it shakes out. I think the USA being behind after day one is going to make the next 3 days hopefully even better, while they like destroy the world team with a bit of fire up their ass. Now, politics and golf, right? You shouldn't really talk about politics and golf, because apparently if you're a sportsman, you're not supposed to be, you know, talk about politics. So that means I really want to talk about politics. In the UK, we have a general election. Boris Johnson is kind of Trump-esque style figure, but he hasn't got the legacy in golf. And I've not seen any of the British golfers come out behind him. I've seen a few significant people in British golf come out for Boris Johnson. A couple of like coaches. If you know who that is, that's great. If you don't know, use the internet to find out. And you know, what I struggle with is some of these guys I have personally on Facebook, and I struggle to separate personal political stuff and stuff on like their branded social media. So I'm just going to let you put that out. My question, my point, think it's a rhetorical question. Why are golfers generally right wing? Generally. Or then here's a more nuanced question. Why are the golfers who speak out about their political views generally right wing? Just statistics means there should be some left wingers. So why aren't they speaking out? Now, the answer to both of those questions could be quite simple. Money. In the UK, more so than in the States, there's an offensive title thrown at rich left-wing people, which is the champagne socialist. And I've had that thrown at me. It's not accurate. A, I don't drink champagne. B, I'm not quite a socialist, although some of my views do align with socialist principles. But I'm too right-wing to be a socialist. I'm certainly too right-wing to be a Democrat in the American understanding of the word, or the American liberal understanding of the word. I'm equally too left-wing to be a classic Republican conservative. So I'm confused. And I personally wouldn't speak out if I was in the tour pros shoes about my political views, because my political views are actually dynamic. I feel no need to stay aligned to one camp for my whole life. There's a couple of principles I hold very dear to, one of which I'm happy to talk about, which is in the UK I believe we need a change in the voting system to move to a proportional representation style of things. I think our first past the post system is flawed. And I'm happy to give my vote to someone to, in modern parlance, to hold my nose and vote for someone who's going to change the voting system, because I think that'll pay off generations down the line. Now, those of you who are well-versed politically in the UK, or about politics in the UK, will know where that may lead me to vote in 5 years' time. Possibly. I'm not going to say it because I scare myself. But yeah, there's a possibility that I could end up voting for someone I never thought I'd vote for. I'm going to leave that there. Or a political party I never thought I'd vote for. People I care not about in politics. Although that's not true, because I'm not sure I could vote for Jeremy Corbyn. Being overseas in Panama and this being a rushed election, I'm happy to share with you I'm not voting this time. The reason is I didn't know who to vote for. And I dithered and dallied so long about trying to work out who I voted for, I then forgot to organise my distance vote, my postal ballot or proxy vote. And so, that left me in a pickle. So I wasn't ready. I was like, do you know what? I don't know who to vote for. I'm going to let it slide this time. The constituency I vote for is pretty safe. And so, my vote wouldn't have made a difference anyway, which is the problem with our voting system. So, 13 minutes in, talked about President's Cup and politics. I always want to bring a bit about your own game and how to make you a better golfer. And I've not been on the golf course for the last week or so, and then therefore haven't been, you know, I'm still not quite getting the golfing I want to. But I think that's a change in my mentality from being golfers my everyday job to golfers. I don't want to say pastime, but something I don't get to do every day. I'm not ready to say it's a hobby. Although, you know, I'm going to try and get out for 18 a week, and I'm going to try and get to the range once a week. But what I can do more of is practice at home and staying in shape for golf. And the way I'm going to do that is working on my flexibility. I think the best way to work on your flexibility in golf is to swing a golf club, or to swing something more useful than a golf club, which is one of the training aids. So I have a short weighted club, you know, old school. It's actually like 20 years old, this thing, if not more. It's like arm length, about the length of my arm. It's got really fat weight on one end. And it's great. I can swing it in a confined space. The way it feels helps me really encourage or develop some feelings I want to work on in my game anyway. And it's working. It's really the feelings helping me really lead with my left side. I tend to get ahead of myself. My swing's based around timing, and I can feel slight timing errors in my game when I'm not playing enough, and the small weight club really highlights those timing errors, and that's awesome. The other thing I like to use, I've talked about it before, is the orange whip. It's a really good strength tool, because I've got the long ones, quite heavy. It's a really good flexibility tool. I think cause it's so heavy, you just do long, slow swings. And it's, again, a tempo tool. Everything in my swing has to fire in the right order for that to feel good. And, I love it. Of course there's a school group walking by me as I record a podcast. And I love the fact there is. So that's that. Something else I'm doing, and it's not a huge change from how I record the podcast, but I'm walking as much as I can. So I take the dog out for a walk. I walk to the store. I walk to go out for coffee. I walk while I'm talking to people on the phone on purpose. That's why I started with pacing around recording a podcast. And I looked at my step counter and I'd done like 20,000 steps on a day I thought had been lazy. Fascinating, right? Bringing walking into your day-to-day routine is so good. And I hate sitting at a desk. Although I have to sit at a desk for my work now, teaching English online. I don't sit and slouched in a chair. I'm on the little inflatable cushion. It makes my back really straight. If I had this great stretchy feeling in my back when I sit properly on that. And, therefore I'm encouraged to do so. Also, I get a sort of whole body stretchy workout. If I lift my feet off the ground, it's like a balance thing. And I can continue working effectively whilst putting that into my routine. I also have a couple of lightweight, 2 kilo hand weights I have in my hands whilst I'm talking to people online, teaching them English, and I'll stretch with them, have my arms out to the side. They're off camera, people just see my shoulders raise a little because it's really just a head shot while I'm teaching. If I'm teaching little kids and there's songs and dances, I just make them into stretches, and they love it. They love it. And I love it. It's good for me. So I do some golf swings without a golf club. I walk. I stretch my upper body. Do a tiny bit of weight work. It's working well for me. I feel great. Like, I feel actually more alive physically, more energized from taking this seriously than before when I was playing golf all the time. Because when I was playing golf all the time, I felt sore all the time because I wasn't looking after myself properly. And I have to admit, that was the beginning of me walking out of golf. I realized I was hurting my body. And some of you will have heard me talk about that in podcasts, not this one, in voice messages, in YouTube stuff I've been involved in. I've talked about how age has hit me and how to look after my body. But I think I'm going to knock this on the head pretty quick. I'm going to knock this on the head because, do you know why? The election results start in 6 minutes, and I'm really keen. I'm keen to get on and listen to what's happening to the UK. I might bang out another podcast, as my good friend Robin Matthews Williams said. I might flick out another podcast after the President's Cup. I might have a new driver by then. I've got gear envy over the new Cobra Speed Zone, and I think I need to make it mine. Yeah, basically. I know it's just the same as an F9, but I don't have an F9. So yeah. So I think, on that note, it's time for me to go. Pray for the UK, guys. Let's hope this election goes well.